always, we have a jam-packed call tonight for our Thursday evening Success University faculty training teleseminar. For those of you who are here for the very first time, we want to welcome you to the family. And for all of you who tune in regularly, welcome back. As one of the most visited personal development websites on the internet, we've designed this call with one thing in mind, and that's to make you more successful. This call is 100% free and open to the public, so we encourage you not only to listen in yourself, but feel free to invite anyone you know who might also want to learn how to be more successful. We hold this teleseminar each and every Thursday evening, same time and same dial-in number, so feel free to mark this down in your calendar so you can join in every week where you'll have the chance to listen to some of the top speakers, trainers, and authors in the personal development industry. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Tracy Williams, and I'm the Director of Education at Success University. I started my career here in April of 08 and have enjoyed launching the new state-of-the-art learning center and working with speakers from all over the world. What a wonderful time to be a part of something so transformational. You're in for a real treat tonight, so get your papers and pens ready. We have Dr. Wayne with us, and this is the first of 11 interviews that he's going to be here to talk to us about living better. And that's such an important topic. If you stop and think about that, that's what we basically strive for every day, is figuring out how can we live better. If it's through exercise, if it's eating right, reducing stress, whatever it is, we are constantly striving to live a better life. So this is going to be a phenomenal series. I highly encourage you to tune in every single month to listen to Dr. Wayne talk to us about how to live a better life. There's more to life than just making a living. We're here to make a life. There's a big difference between in what we have and who we are. And there's nothing to support that we're here in this world to be sick or overweight or miserable or broke or any of those things that we don't want to be. We're here to have abundance, to be happy, and to make a difference while leaving a lasting legacy. You'll learn how to play the game of life as a winner with 8 easy moves. Our special guest is Dr. Wayne Pickering, the Ambassador for Health. He's from Daytona Beach, Florida, and during this interview, his topic will be what life is truly all about. So we're doing an entire series on living better, but tonight's topic is going to be about what life is truly about. Dr. Wayne is a phenomenal person, and I'm sure many of you on the call tonight have listened to him over the last couple of years when Ned Ray interviewed him and did a fantastic job. He's got so much information. I mean, he's author of over 10 health guides, several CD-ROMs, books, audio learning programs, award-winning video series, you name it. He's a lifestyle management consultant, an international professional speaker. His prognosis was death at the age of 30. Now he is 61 years young, and he's an award-winning triathlete and a double nominee for the Healthy American Fitness Leader Award. So if someone knows how to live a better life, I think Dr. Wayne is that guy. So really listen in tonight. He's also the founder of the Daytona Beach-based Center for Nutrition and Life Management. He is phenomenal. I guarantee if we give him a minute, he'll give us a lifetime. 2 websites that we're going to talk about throughout the interview series that I want to mention, I'll mention them now and I'll mention them at the end, are www.healthatlast.com. Again, that's www.healthatlast.com. And then www.romanceoffinance.com. And I'm bringing those up for a couple of reasons, and you'll find out at the end of the call. This way, these two websites that we get here, we talk about 2 important sides of our lives, both health and the wealth sides of our lives. If you ever need to get a hold of Dr. Wayne, you can dial his 800 number. It's 800-325-DIET, and DIET is 3438. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dr. Wayne to the call.
Tracy, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's going to be fun to be working with you this year. I mean, you and I have had several conversations up until now,
yes.
and you are a delight, so it's nice to work with you finally.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful working with you, too, and Ned Ray has said some amazing things about you, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, do you have any opening comments for us before we get into this life-changing interview series on living better?
Oh, by all means. Tracy, let me see if I can preface it this way. 2% of all of the people in this world think logically for themselves. 8% think when they're in pain and suffering. And 90% would rather die than think. The fact that the people are listening to this interview series suggests to me that they're in that 2%, and I'll qualify that. Dr. Lester Breslow is his name. He's the dean of the School of Public Health in Los Angeles, California, says that if you just change your lifestyle from a bad one to a better one, you can add as much as 14 years to your life. So for the people who are listening to this interview series and tuning in for 11, there's going to be 11 one-hour interviews, to learn how to add years to your life, that's a real good trade-off. So my hat's off to the listener right now for being a member of that 2% of the people who think. But as you mentioned earlier, it would be a good idea. That would be my big suggestion. Mm-hmm. Get a pen and piece of paper out. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to share with you. And the 800 number, as you mentioned, is 800-325-DIET-3438. But one more thing before we move on. Mm-hmm. It's too bad, Tracy, that we actually have to live over half of our lives just to learn how to live it.
Oh, that's true.
Isn't it true? So this series is going to cut the learning curve on this dramatically. So I applaud you for making this available to your listeners. So I'm glad to be here, really.
That's why, and I'm glad that you're here. You know, I've listened to your other two series that you've done the last couple of years with Ned, and I'm really looking forward to this series. So can you kind of give us an overview of what we can expect throughout the entire series, since we don't really get this kind of information mainstream?
Oh, by all means, really. All right, let's picture in our minds Willie Sturgis, Yankee Stadium, world famous umpire, World Series, going to start the game, takes that little whisk broom out of his pocket, walks up to the home plate. What does he say to start the game? Play ball.
Play ball.
And the audience goes crazy. Just can't wait to hear those two words. Now, notice he never did say, work ball. He always said, play ball. But interestingly enough, all those players are actually working. They're strategizing. They're getting fresh air. They're that's their job. They're schmoozing with their cronies. They're having a good time. And so this is what I'm convinced we need to be thinking about with the game of life. Most people think they got to work. No, you got to play this game of life, but let's get the right components in place. Tracy, notice if you play a game of checkers, you make the right moves, the right jumps, you use good common sense and good strategy, and we win. It's the same with the game of life, and there's eight sides of our lives that we've got to give attention to. And none of them, well, there's only one that supersedes all of them, and I'll share that with you in a second. But write the word down on a piece of paper. It's called checkers. And this is an acronym for the eight sides of our lives we've got to give attention to, and I'll give you a little overview of the whole thing before we move on. The C is our career. The H is our health. The E is our economics, the money side of our lives. Got to make money. It's not spiritual to be broke. Communication, knowledge, emotions, recreation, got to have fun in life, got to have fun, and the spiritual side of our lives. Now, these are the building blocks for life, but the mortar that holds them all together is called balance. So here's what we're going to be covering in this interview series. And for the listeners, I would encourage you to read the promotional copy of each of these interviews that are emailed to you, and I believe they're on your site, aren't they, Amy? Amy, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I might slip every once in a while.
I have a sister named Amy, so it's okay. I'm used to it. My mom used to do that all the
time. So here's a brief rundown of what we're going to be covering, okay? The first interview, which is tonight, we're going to show you how to not put off living and have a happier life. I mean, and that you're special and you deserve the best. Drink out of your best dishes. Eat off of your best chinaware. Who are you polishing that stuff for? Eat off of it. You spent the money for it. Do it. So treat yourself to the best of everything. And the second interview, we're going to talk about our career. Here's the most important thing I can tell people when it comes to their career. Never work because you need the money. Work, make your life your job. We are going to learn a three-step plan. We alluded to that on the last teleseminar, or I think it was two teleseminars ago, series ago, of how to find your true uniqueness. That when you tune into this next one that you and I are going to do, you're going to learn a three-step plan to know exactly who you are in your life within 2 weeks, and here's the clink. It's guaranteed. So you're going to learn how to make your life your job. Here's the third interview we're going to do all about our health. And that, in my view, is the single most important component of the whole aspect of our life. Because when we're not healthy, we can just hang it up for all the cash that we have and all the homes that we have and so the fourth interview, we're going to talk about the money side of our lives. Rich people don't work for money. This is interesting, and you shouldn't either. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to learn the biggest mistakes that keep us broke, all of that. The fifth interview, we're going to talk about the communication side of our lives. People only do business with us, Tracy, if they know us, they like us, and they trust us. I have bought things from people that I didn't even need, but I liked them, and I wanted to help them out. And I'm sure you might have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one is going to be about knowledge. And the more you learn, the more you earn. That's going to be a dramatic teleseminar series for the people to tune into to open their mind.
That one will definitely hit home with our folks. The more you learn, the more you earn, because we're in the business of personal development.
Yes.
And it's so true.
Yeah, very true. And the more you know, the higher you go and the harder it is to replace you. All right, the next interview is going to be about the emotional sides of it. Now, 60-plus years I've been on this planet, and you hear things, and sometimes you forget to give credit where credit's due. So I'm not trying to steal from the thunder of any of the great authors that you've had here, but here's a great line I've learned somewhere, and I don't remember where it came from, but it's a good one. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. So, we've had some economic times, but everything is all ebb and flow. And we remember the bad more than remember the good. So, anyway, the eighth interview is going to be about how to have fun in our lives. Life is supposed to be a joy to be lived and not some problem to be continually solving. So, you're going to learn some tips on how to have fun in your life all the time. The spiritual side is the next one. And I would like to say this about the spiritual side. I didn't say religion, but the spiritual side. Don't let religion get in the way of your reality is my line. God is too big for it to fit in one religion. The tenth interview is about balance. And the last one, you're going to learn how to put this whole series in motion for you so that you can live better, live smarter, and have balance in your life and live a life of no regrets. So let's get ready for a great show.
Oh, that's fabulous. You know, I want to kind of set the tone for tonight's interview and for that matter, the entire series. And you've made some interesting comments in the past about time. And I've heard you talk about it in some of your previous sessions. Do you mind sharing that with us? And then things that you feel might fall into place for the listeners about life in general and living better.
Sure. That's a good one to start with, actually. But our time. Now, there's a great myth, and you're right. I did share this. I believe it was just on our last teleseminar series to show people, okay, here's your 24 hours. How can we implement the health side of our lives in there every day? Now, we're going to learn through this whole series how to implement each of these building blocks. And that's just your lifestyle together. You got your health together. You got your finances together. You got your emotions together. But there's a myth that time is money. Now, Tracy, I know you and I have been around the country here, and if that was true, you could go anywhere, any place, any time, and buy more time. And we both know that's impossible. So let's say, as a matter of fact, time is more precious than money. It's a non-renewable resource, okay? Once you've spent it, and if you spend it badly, then it's gone forever. So let's say we're 50, and we're expecting to live to be about 80. I think that's a reasonable expectation, especially if you're implementing all of what we shared on that How to Get Well and Stay Well for Life interview series. But now if we're 50 and we're going to live to 80, that means we have 30 years left, which means we have 360 months left to live our lives. Since we sleep a third of that, and we also use up a third of that with just the daily cares of life, you know, hygiene, eating, driving to work, if you do that sort of thing, doctor's appointments, dentist, laundry. So if we use up a third of the 360 and another third of that, we're down to 120 months left that we can be productive. But if we're working a half of that, now we've really got to squeeze every waking moment into being productive in some area that brings us the most joy, which is actually what we're going to be talking about on the career end of our series coming up. But do you know that people actually spend over 5 hours a day average in this country watching television? What a waste.
I've heard that. I've heard it even higher.
Yes. I said that to be, to whether if anybody retaliated, I could say, no, it's worse. But they're learning all the wrong stuff. So If we could do this, time is slipping away, and for every minute we waste stressed out, it's just a minute of happiness we're never going to get back. It's time we get going. We don't have time to be offended. What truly counts... Let me... I wrote a little something down here that Dale Carnegie said one time, and I think it's perfect, and I know it's in some of your material, but even though we have all this material available to us, sometimes it's hard to get to it all.
Absolutely.
So he says, one of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We're all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside of our windows right now. Dale Carnegie. So if we can think about this, if we can think about our time, and it basically boils down to one word, it's called attitude. It's an attitude. You can have all the cash in your life, and if you've got a bad attitude, you're going to be miserable. So what good is it? You can't have a bad attitude and be healthy. It's impossible. You can't have a bad attitude and be a good communicator. So attitude is the ticket, the way we think. So what we think about, we bring about. So let's keep this thing about in mind about our time, and we'll move on.
Definitely.
And I want to give credit where credit is due, and this next statement came from somebody I know you maybe you don't know, but I know you're going to get to know, because the guy is the best coach I know of. He's my personal coach, and you tend to be selective of who you get your material from, and he is, in my view, the best coach. Here's what he says. Rick Ernst in Orlando, Florida, by the way. Mm-hmm. Time is what we have, and wisdom is what we do with it. Mm. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that's phenomenal. You know, when you talk about time, you have a personal story about your life, and that I'd love for you to share with everyone. And, you know, from what I understand, it wasn't all that rosy. You know, I think by sharing your story, it might help encourage someone listening that, you know, maybe they're not the only one knowing that they're not the only one having faced adversity in their life, and that you can come through it and you can make the best of it, not just come through it, but be resilient. And so can you let us know a little bit about what happened in your life?
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, well, let's put the percentages down a little bit so that I can cover myself. Like I said, 5 hours. I was low on that, too. But let's say 95%, we know it's more, 95% of all of the people have either come from broken homes, alcoholic parents, poor education, dropout in school, bad neighborhoods, or whatever. We've all had some component in our lives that have been really miserable. So what makes people think they have exclusivity on stress is a mystery to me.
Right.
So let me preface my whole story this way. There are two things in my life I would do differently if I had to live over again. But all of the rest of it, I wouldn't change at all. I was the runaway in the family. I was in three wars. I've been all over the world. I've been in, you know, we've all have our little skits and getting in trouble at times and drinking a lot. And I smoked cigarettes for years and did all the garbage to my body. But here's two things I would never, I would change if I had my life to live again. I would never, ever take my freedom for granted. And two, I would never abuse my health. All the rest of the hassles I've had, as I said, were all divine design, and they've actually helped me, as you alluded to get to this point in my life. Or as my good friend, Willie Jolly, I know you know Willie, I just did his XM radio show, by the way, on wealth building, and if anybody wants to email me that, for that link, I'll give it to you, because that link is now off the web, but I have a personal link, I'll give that to you. It's all about wealth building, getting the sides of your life in order. So here's what he had to say, and I thought it was beautiful. A setback in life is nothing more than a setup to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I do seminars called From Drugs to Hugs, Living the Good Life, and it has changed a lot of people's lives, and I'm truly blessed. But I was the runaway in the family. My parents were married so many times, Tracy, they got scars just from the rice.
Oh.
Hello. So my mother had married this fella, and he was in Illinois, and we were in Florida at the time when she moved up there, and Dad took us to Canada. And so after 4 years up there, and a second marriage that was just devastating. I mean, it was awful. And not to belabor that, but I had my mother sent me $60 after getting beat up and abused and all that stuff so much. I had that $60 I gave to my granddad. My granddad had that buried in the back of his wallet because he knew the trouble I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was $54 for the bus fare, and I had $6 for food. That was a three-day bus trip to Sterling, Illinois, where I wound up joining the Navy to get my start on life. And I encourage all the youth in this country, or any country for that matter, to look into the military to get some kind of direction if they don't have that direction. It's a wonderful way, in my view, to get an education, learn a skill, that kind of thing, get paid to do it, get free clothes, room and board, and travel the world. I mean, it's a great way to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't get into the Navy because of my heart was so bad. I was a very sick, fat kid. I was flat on my back sometimes for 8 months at a time. So my heart was so bad, so they weren't going to let me in, but Vietnam was strong then, and they were looking for anybody to go to Vietnam. So I had to jump on one foot, jump on another, and do all that kind of, so they let me in, okay? So I wound up spending three tours over there. And not to belabor that, but coming back, when I got back home in Treasure Island, California, in San Francisco, they actually hated us. The Vietnam vets. I mean, I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it. So they stole all of my pictures, my clothes, everything I had, except my wallet and the clothes I had on my back and a few papers that I had on my possession. But so I got real negative. So I decided I'd take a 20,000-mile vacation. The reason I tell you that is not to be crying the blues, that I had no direction in life. I didn't have a thing I was going to do. I was a borderman, for goodness sake. And I was on working with the Navy SEALs in South Vietnam on my second and third term over there in Vinh Long and in Nha Bay. But the reason I tell you that is I decided, okay, I'm not going to see all of my Vietnam buddies again. I took a 20,000-mile trip all the way down the west coast of California, across the bottom part of the United States, over to Illinois, across the country, up into Canada, all the way across, back, went to work in Rockford, Illinois. Now, I had 36 jobs in a six-year period.
Oh, my goodness.
When I came back from the war. So I'm bearing my soul to you now.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, I mean, I didn't have a clue what life was about. I thought that I would find a 40-hour-a-week job and work real hard, maybe last 40 years, to get that $40 watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the way it used to be. And I just couldn't get the job. So I went to work at Chrysler Corporation in Belvidere, Illinois, on the chassis line, where I learned 17 different jobs on just a line. I worked day shift, evening shift, graveyard shift, if you will. So I had 17 different jobs in that year period. Plus, I split firewood for spare money in 55-degree below zero, freezing cold. Miserable. Now, even though Vietnam was very miserable, it was very balmy. And the only time that I can remember not sweating was the first 5 minutes after you took your shower of the day, and then the rest, you just sweated all day long. So anyway, 55 degrees below zero, darling, was a real beast. So then I moved to Odessa, Texas, where I worked in the oil fields out there for Parker Drilling Company in West Texas. I had five different jobs. And then one I actually worked on I forgot the name of the job. It's where those pumps, they pump all day long, you know, where they've already drilled the oil. I forgot the name of that job, but I did that. So that was six more jobs I had total there. I came to Florida.
About what age were you then?
I was 20. I wasn't quite 25.
Okay, wow.
Then I came to Florida and started working as a laborman on a construction company I worked on, and I had three different jobs, totally different. Then I went to work selling artwork, because I hated construction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work at the Roman Spa. I had two different jobs out there. Then I worked at J.M. Fields in the sporting goods department. That was another job. I worked at JLG Enterprise selling maglocks, lever wrenches, and scissors for a while. That was a job. Then
you had some really diverse...
Oh. Let me
tell you. Kind of all over the place. There were 36 of these.
You're going to love this. Then I worked at AMI, the American Motorcycle Institute, for 9 months. Hated that. I couldn't stand motorcycles. I worked at an airbed store.
Mm-hmm.
I worked as a lifeguard for 4 years. And so on my time off, I was taking courses in nutrition because I was sick so much. And all of the sickness was really a benefit, do you see, to get me where I am now. So here's where I want to close off with that story. Is the, we're going to show you, somebody got a hold of me and gave me a three-step process that guaranteed me that if I followed that three-step process, Tracy, I would find myself within 2 weeks, and I'm going to share that with you on the next interview. But it said 80% of success is showing up. And since nobody likes change except the wet baby, we all resist change. So we've got to find a way to start putting some changes in our lives if we want to be better. So there's part of my story.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got such a good attitude when you just touched on some of your personal story there. And, you know, I think, how do you keep such a great attitude? And I know that you have some interesting stories that you keep focused on when everything seems to kind of go haywire in your life or on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be great for us to, you know, look for the good things in life, and the bad, you know, won't make any difference.
True.
And what are some of those stories that kind of get you through those tough times?
Good one. By all means, Tracy. And once again, I have to say it all boils down to attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a couple listeners on the phone who interviewed me last year, and these two are consummate representation of a great attitude, Ned and Cheryl Way. What a wonderful
Absolutely.
Couple. Aren't they special?
Absolutely.
So if I'm concerned about something and it's really on my mind and I can't deal with it, here's what I do. I'll say cancel. And the word cancel triggers this picture in my mind, and it helps to trigger your automatic servo mechanism. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful picture of a sunrise with deer in the background, and there's a forest and beautiful flowers. It's gorgeous. And so it just brings me right out of it for a second. But what I like to do a lot is just go outside and listen to the birds and the other animals that are really there to entertain us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we tune into them, you'll see that they'll start to make you laugh in no time, and it's my escape. Now, I know that since I live here in an island in Florida, that you're thinking it's easy to do these sort of things because your environment, you say. But listen, I was just up in New York City a few months back, and I was walking down one of them busy streets. You got ambulances, cars, mm-hmm. people shouting, screeching of streetcars. I mean, that's stressful in and of itself to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can always tune in to something in nature, like a bird in a tree or something. So all one has to really do to start with there is to tune in, because you can tune out whining kids. It's the same as tuning in to the sound of nature and the beautiful sounds, do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a bit meditative.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can remember when I was in Vietnam. I can remember one of the things I used to do to beat the stress of that incredible conflict. It was one of the greatest stress relievers I know of, and it was to look at the sunsets. I mean, where else can you see a painting of that magnitude right in front of you daily, and it changes per minute, and it's free?
Right.
So I have four birds in the Florida room out here. Well, three now, because one of them passed, bless their little hearts. But I learned so much from those birds. They sing, they laugh, they play, they eat, they sleep, they poop, they mate, they make a nest. They basically live in harmony with nature, and I get the biggest kick out of them. And when you tune into the animal kingdom, you're going to learn a lot about life in general. So that's part of the stories that I'd like to share when I'm on the platform. I've got a lot of nature stories that I do that just is incredible. So that's how I do it.
And that's interesting, because you talk about nature and animals, and life's pretty simple for them, you know. And I think life can be pretty simple for us. We just tend to make it really complicated. Can you help, you know, give us some of your thoughts on how to keep it all in perspective so that the rest of the series will kind of fall into place for us on this?
But sure thing. You know, the irony of our time in history right now is that we've got taller buildings and shorter tempers, okay? We've got wider freeways and narrower viewpoints. I mean, we spend more, we have less, we buy more, enjoy less. We have bigger homes, or bigger houses, I should say. Smaller families, and we got more degrees and less sense. We laugh too little, we read too little, we don't pray enough. There are days, right now there's two incomes and more divorce. Beautiful homes, houses I should say, but broken homes. Here's a great scenario for you. And I'm sure that we can all relate to this. And when I discovered it, it made me hug my mom a whole lot more. I don't know where I found this. Somebody sent it to me online one time, and it was so good. Let me just share it with you. 4 years of age, my mommy can do anything. 8 years, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. 12 years old, my mother really doesn't know all that much. When we're 14, naturally, mom doesn't know that either. When we're 16, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. 25, well, she might know a little something about it. 35, hey, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about it. When we're 65, I really wish I could have talked it over with mom. Pretty soon, life is over. And what did you do? What did you do? Most people, when they reach 40 to 50, they get to thinking, is this all there is? I mean, then most of them either get divorced, they lose everything they worked for, and when they get so sick and stressed out about their kids putting, then they, you know, the kids actually put them in a nursing home and maybe come see them once a week or a month in most cases. So I think that if we can remember these 10 little things, it'll keep it all in perspective for us on a daily basis. Okay, these are great little tips. Happiness is a choice. One thing that you can make today and every day. So happiness is a choice. Two, get into the natural world. Stay connected to the natural world. Look around you and just embrace the things in nature. And good health, number three, isn't a gift. It's a habit that you have to cultivate, and it's easier when you want to than when you have to. And the fourth one, I believe, is we should think more about what we should eat and less about what we shouldn't eat.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Here's a good one, too. What we pay attention to will thrive. It's similar to what we think about, we bring about.
Mm-hmm.
And the sixth one is a healthy, fit body is not enough. True health encompasses both the mind and the body. It's number seven, listen to your intuition. I mean, go with your gut, so to speak. Number eight, laugh at yourself. You're really funny. I mean, sometimes when I rehash what I said, I can't believe I said that. I got to write that one down. Number nine, nurture your spirit. I mean, we're special. And number 10, it's never too late to take that first step to what you really want to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So those things keep it all in perspective for me.
Those are great. Those are things that, you know, I would encourage everyone, including myself, you know, post that on your mirror or where you're doing your work every day. You know, have it where you can pull it out, or in the visor, and you're sitting at a stoplight, you know, and you're getting frustrated. I think those are some simple tips to look at and say, you know, that would definitely help you keep things in perspective. I know it would help me.
Well, it helps me. Believe me, Tracy. No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, you talked about happiness, and I know in today's environment, a lot of people think, well, they can buy happiness, because when you're growing up, you think, oh, I want a house, I want a car, I want this, I want that, and it stings, you know.
Yes.
What's your take on this?
Thank you. Well, people just don't know how to live. So this series is about learning how to live better in all areas of our lives. Many of us, I think, have things backwards. We believe that we have to wait to create the circumstances we want in life and rack up a bunch of these little successes, do you see, so we can finally relax. No. Actually, it works the other way around. We should leave where we are and move to where we ultimately dream of living, where if it's Boulder, Colorado, Santa Monica, Chicago, Tibet, wherever it is, that once we're there, we're going to figure out ways to help survive and to prosper from there. I mean, paradise should never wait, and happiness shouldn't either. Here are three ways I reflect on a daily basis to keep that the happiness in line for me. Know my strengths. We need to sit down and assess what we're good at. I feel I'm a great organizer. I love people, and so I feel I'm a good communicator. I get along with people. I mean, I love people. And I never try to ever come off as holier than thou, and all those accolades we have, we're all people. We're all interdependent. So know your strengths. To know thyself is to know all. And, I mean, God never made a nobody. You are genuinely special and deserve to be totally happy. I mean, when do you get to? So know your strengths, number one. Number two, make it a beautiful day. I continuously laugh at the rows and the rows of those birds sitting on those power lines, and I watch those sunsets and those sunrises. And every time I go out on the road, you know how sometimes we get a little antsy because we're going to speak the next morning. What I do is I walk outside every night and look at the trillions and trillions of stars that I walk 1 mile every night before I go to bed. Every night before I go to bed, I always just walk around my block, which is exactly 1 mile. And you know, you get all the smells and all that. So you, make it a beautiful day. No matter where you live, you can find something great about there. And the third one, of course, these three, count your blessings. I've been in 25 countries, and I got to tell you, this is a wonderful place to live. If you're living in freedom, you're living in a great place. Australia, Japan, England, South Africa, Canada, wherever you're living in freedom, you're living in paradise. So let me, if I may, and I'm not going to get too spiritual here, but I hope you don't mind. Would you mind if I shared my, and I put this together myself because it's all-encompassing. It's my daily thankful prayer. Would you mind if I share that?
No, that's fine.
Okay, and it's not to offend anybody, but maybe the person listening to this should put one together for themselves, not this one, but whatever you feel. And the only reason I'm saying this is so that you can kind of get a gist of maybe how to put yourself, your own personal one together. It's Almighty God, thank you so very much for my awesome home on the finest beach of the haven of the greatest country on this earth, with my abundance of freedoms, embracing the cleanest environment, enjoying a life completely healthy, being 100% totally free of all aches, pains, stress, and disease, as I am honored to be a great service with my passion, relishing the power of forgiveness. Thanks a million for this day. So that keeps it all into perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty happy.
Oh, that's a great one.
Thank you.
You know, we're getting into the deep into the second half of this interview, and I wanted to ask you to share a couple of stories that you've experienced that helps you keep going with this portion of the series on living better. As I know, we're about to learn some great strategies to put our lives into a very successful mode. So, you know, can you share some of those stories with us?
Sure. The most important thing I believe that we can think about in life, things are going to get tough.
Mm-hmm.
Things get tough. You know that because you've been through some tough times.
Mm-hmm.
Ned's been through some tough times. Matt's been through some tough times. Wayne has been through some tough times. The listener, everybody's been through. Never give up. You can give in and you can give out, but you can't give up. Got to stay in the game because you can never win the game unless you stay in the game of life. So I can remember a little story here to tell you about my first triathlon I did. Now, I was nervous. Now, I was a sick kid, supposed to die before I was 30. Here I was 40, almost 40 when I did my first triathlon. And I was standing up there. My good buddy, John Banks, he was saying, now, Wayne, at the swim. Now, my first race was a half-a-mile swim, a 20-mile bike, and a 5-mile run. Not a big event, but it was the Sprint Classic. You got four series, your Sprint Classics, your USGS distance, your half Ironman, and then your Ironman. So he says, never get in the middle, because the swim is usually first. Never get in the middle, Wayne, and never get up front. I said, okay, yes, never get in the middle and never get up front. Okay. So we were at this place called Camp Winona. It was a nice little church park. About 800 people were in the water at one time, waiting for the gun to go off. I was nervous. I had my goggles on, my swim cap on, and just ready. I trained for months for this thing. Well, the race director come up, and he says, he had this real raspy voice, well, the race is going to start 10 minutes late. We've got a few pros that the flight is just coming in. They're almost here. We got to start. So I'm getting nervous. So I go up to my great friend, John, and he's up there. He's an excellent swimmer. And I says, I called him Otis. I said, Otis, pump me up, buddy. I said, I'm nervous. I said, he said, Wayne, you're going to do great, buddy. He said, you're in great shape. He said, you trained for this thing for almost 6 months. He said, you're going to make it, dude. This is going to be great. I said, okay. So after talking to him a while, the 10 minutes went by, and the cannon goes off. And the thought goes through my mind, Tracy, I'm in the middle, and I'm up front.
Oh.
I
Wait,
turned.
I've done one triathlon, and that's not where I wanted to be.
On the left side is cool. So,
exactly.
So I turned around, and I looked, and it was 750 people mowing me down. I was shocked. I got in the water, and I was swimming. I started swallowing water, and I went way down, and my goggles were twisted on the side of my face. I could barely see out of one, and all these bodies were going over my head, and, you know, all these beautiful girls going over, and I was looking. I said, boy, this is something. Then all of a sudden, the thought goes through my mind. I said, Wayne, you got to breathe. So you got to come out of this water. So I get up out of the water, and I said, that's it. I'm quitting. So I get out of the water, and I heard this sound. I said, no. This was an 85-year-old man. Ed Root was his name. They've even named a race after him down here. Was beating me, and I was half his age. Less than half his age. I said, no way. I got back in the race. I finished in the top 50% in the swim, and I did real good on the bike, and the run I did fairly well on, but here's the deal. I took home a trophy on my first race. If I had not have stuck in the game and held in there, I would have never finished. I wouldn't even got to play the game. We've got to hang in here in this game of life. There's a lot of things we're going to be sharing with you in here that's going to make it easy, simple, and get on with life. So that's a couple little things that I do, okay?
Yeah, I think those are some great stories. You know, I can relate to all the stories around sports and stuff because I think growing up, that's where I got a lot of my confidence and my self-esteem. And, you know, giving up, it could go the completely opposite way for you. So you get that strength of spirit. And so I think that's a fabulous story. And for everyone out there, it may not be that. It's just something else new that you try that you didn't believe you could do until you just put your mind and your heart to it. And, wow, you know, we're capable of so much more than we ever imagined.
Very much, very much.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, why don't we move on and talk about some lessons that you've learned along the way with just life in general, as I know you're going to share some great lessons in the next interview when we talk about the career portion, but just some, you know, about just life in general, some lessons that you've learned.
Okay. First of all, I think I've learned that life is too short to waste on trivial things like who has what, who knows who, and what they say on television. You know, Success University, when Amy Hohenbrink at the time called me and invited me to do this, and then Matt Morris and I spoke quite a bit, and then when a couple of the other, I forgot their names, forgive me, but we talked, and then when Ned and I spoke, I was so sold after I went to the website and saw what you folks are bringing to the table to help people. I mean, it was such a marriage. I mean, I was only too happy to embrace the opportunity to work with you. So learn from Success University. I mean, the incredible information and the tools that you have to be successful in all areas of our lives, and you're bringing some of these interview series to the table. It's just a slam dunk. That here's another thing I've learned, that just because 100 million people believe in a foolish thing, it's still a foolish thing.
Right.
So sometimes we believe that we can treat disease or we can play the lottery and win the money. No, that's still a foolish thing. And here's another thing I've learned in my life. Beliefs will only be beliefs as long as we have people out there to believe them. But truth, Tracy, will always be truth, whether we believe it or not. And the truth is that we are special, we deserve the best, and that life has to offer, like right here and right now. As I mentioned, wear your best clothes as often. You know, when you dress up, your attitude just naturally dresses up, and the floodgate of opportunities opens to you. Here's a couple of the lessons I've learned, that some people are great at mastering life, while others are mastered by life. And this is a good one I remembered. God gives every bird its food, but notice he doesn't throw it in the nest. We've got to seize life now. So you've got the tools. Let's run with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, Wayne, in each interview, you've always given us a positive affirmation to write down on a page 20 times each day for 10 days until the next interview. And you assure us that miraculous results will become a reality.
Right.
Now that we're down to the close of this series, and I love this portion of the interview, by the way.
Thank you.
Do you have for us for this interview?
You know, if you came to my office, and the next time Ned and Cheryl or anybody's down here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure they come by the house because I've got stacks of them. That, especially during the stressful time that I had 6 years ago when I lost my business and a great deal the second time. Now, do me wrong once, shame on you. Do me wrong twice, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
I was really down on myself. But it was an awesome blessing because it redefined my career. I always wanted to make the bulk of my money sitting home in my underwear. I'm going to show you how to do that on the career side of your life on the next one, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually became a reality because I put together a stress series. It qualified me. First of all, when I was broke and I figured out ways to rise above it and become back stronger then than ever, I was qualified to go ahead and share with people how, you know, I'm amazed at how many people teach weight loss programs and who are obese.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. So it qualifies you, all these things. So when I was so stressed out, I started writing these things down on a piece of paper 20 times, and I did it for 20 to 30 days. And the difference it made in my life within the first month was nothing short of dramatic. I was shocked. You have in your brain what you call an ASM, an automatic servo mechanism that triggers when you program it enough. It just, like when I share that word cancel, then that picture comes up. That's your automatic servo mechanism kicking in. So when you write down a positive affirmation 20 times on a piece of paper, doesn't have to be a long affirmation, just maybe 3 to 5 to 6, maybe 10 words at the max, you watch what happens. Here's the one for this interview. I live life. I love life. You program your subconscious with that. And watch what happens. Write that down 20 times on a page for 10 days and watch what happens. I live life. I love life. Do that, and then you keep in touch with me, especially the listeners now, and let me know how you're coming with that, because this is going to totally turn this whole thing around with you, because we got to work on your mind first. Then all the rest of this thing's a snap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, that's a great one. I live life. I love life.
There you go.
That's a great one. Well, you know, you have so many websites out there. I think there's like 21 sites out there.
That's right.
And you've given us two for us to focus on, and it's healthatlast.com and romanceoffinance.com. And I know that you have something special for our listeners about these programs, and they can only get this for the next 12 hours only, since it's not on the site. Do you want to share that with us now?
Listen, actually, I'm going to have to extend that because of the different time zones around the world.
That's great. I was going to talk to you about that after the call.
How about, what would be a reasonable time?
I think 48 is good. We send out the recording of the call tomorrow around noon.
Okay, so let's do 48 hours then,
okay.
Tracy, okay? And then I'll make sure, and correct me on that from now on if you wanted just to say that to me.
Okay,
here's what I would do. See, the two sides of our lives, we've got to get in touch. We've got to get the wealth side of our lives together. I mean, it's not fun. I mean, what is it? I've been rich, and I've been poor. Rich is a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of money in my life, but there were times that when you have a lot and you start trusting the wrong people. Now when you don't have it, it rekindles your spirit. So we want to get your finances together and we want to get your health together. Because without your health, I mean, you're absolutely nothing. I mean, you put you away, people won't hire you, they don't want to marry you, they don't want to be around you. They just pity sick people. Got to get your health together. So if we will do this, go to healthatlast.com, health, A-T, last, healthatlast.com. That's our mini health site.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be sharing the deluxe site here during the maybe toward the end of the series, but this one here is an excellent way to get started. And then there is over, I think there's like $1,200 worth of goods there, and the people get it for $98.13. But if they're having trouble with their finances, I want you to go to Romance of Finance. And if you buy the healthatlast.com site tonight, or within the next 48 hours, we're going to give you the Romance of Finance site absolutely. Well, you're only going to pay a dollar for that. Mm-hmm. It's $1, and there's $631 worth of goods in there to get you financially well off. So get the Health at Last to get your health together, and then get the Romance of Finance for $1. Now, the only way that you're going to get that is that when you go to the instruction page of the ordering page, when you order the Health at Last, put in Romance of Finance $1, and that will trigger the office here to go ahead and make sure that they know that that came from this show.
And is it $1 spelled out, or?
No, it's just like one, like just $1.
Dollar sign and one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just $1. And what that's going to do, we have, I think there's only about 20 specials available to do that. I think that's all they allowed me to do here in the office. Because they said, you give away this ship, don't be doing that. So I said, let me give away 20. So we're giving away just 20 of those. So now you're going to have the health side and the wealth side of your life on a roll.
That's great. Well, we really appreciate it. You know, this series has been wonderful. I know it's going to be life-changing, and I think it's going to be phenomenal. Do you have any closing comments that you'd like to share to wind it all up?
Sure. You know, there's a little story that came. Indulge me while I read this, okay, darling? This is, it just touched my heart when I read this little story. And it came from this girl who talks about the winter of life. She says, you know, time has a way of moving quickly and catching you unaware of the passing years. It seems that just yesterday I was a little girl, just married and embarking on a new life with my husband. And yet, in a way, it seems like eons ago. And I wonder where all the years went. I know that I lived them all. And I have glimpses of how it was back then and all my hopes and dreams. But here it is, the winter of my life. And it caught me by surprise. How did I get here so fast? Where did the years go? And where did my babies go? Where did my youth go? I remember, well, seeing older people through the years and thinking, oh, those poor older people were years away from me. And that winter was so far off that I could not fathom it or even imagine it fully. Of what it could possibly be like. And she continues, but here it is. My husband retired yesterday, and he's finally getting gray. He moves slower, and I can see an older man now. He's in better shape than me, but I see the great change. Not the man I married who was dark and young and strong and handsome. Like me, his age is beginning to show, and we are now the older folks we used to see and never thought we'd be. So if you're not in the winter yet, let me remind you that it will be here faster than you think. So whatever you would like to accomplish in your life, she says, please do it quickly. But remember that scripture, our life is but a vapor. It vanishes quickly. So do what you can do today, because you never be sure whether this is the winter of your life or not. You have no promise that God will, it says you have no promise that you will see all of the seasons of your life. So live for God today. And see all of the things that you want your loved ones to remember. And I was, I thought that was good. So she said, there are two things that I wrote down as a result of that, that we're the only real obstacle in our path to a fulfilling life. And we only live once, but if we do it right that time, then once is enough. So I was watching this video one evening, and I want to say this in conclusion, because this was really something. And it brought some things to life. To me, that I knew what I wanted to share with you tonight on this. I had some good thoughts, and your questions were so provoking. I appreciate that. But when I saw this, it was a video. It took me a half an hour to transcribe it, because I'd stop the DVD, and I'd write down, and I'd come in the computer and write it. But I want to share this with you tonight, if I may, in closing. Pretty soon, China is going to be the number one English-speaking nation in the world. That 25% of India's population was with the highest IQ, Tracy, is greater than the total population of the United States. Wow. That's just 25%.
Wow.
Yes. India has more honor kids than America has kids. Right now, we are preparing students for jobs that don't even exist yet and using technology that hasn't been invented in order to solve problems that we don't even know that are problems yet. Let me read you a couple more of these. One out of eight couples, because you'll see where I'm going with this. You're going to say, wow. There are one out of eight couples married in the United States last year met online. And there are over 200 million registered users on MySpace. And if MySpace were a country, it would be the fifth largest in the world between Indonesia and Brazil. And the number one ranked country in broadband internet penetration, you'll never guess where that is. Bermuda.
Bermuda?
Bermuda. And number 19th is the United States, and you'll never guess what 22 is. Japan. Now, who would ever thought that?
Mm-hmm.
This is the amount of years that it took to reach a market audience of 50 million with radio. 38 years. Television, 13 years. The internet, 4 years. iPod, 3 years. And Facebook, 2 years.
Mm.
So, it's estimated right now that 4 exabytes of unique information, now you know you got your kilobytes, your gigabytes, your megabytes, gigabytes, then you got terabytes, and then you got one there, and then you got the exabyte. It has enough information that will be generated this year, which is more than the previous 5,000 years.
Yep.
And the amount of technology information that is doubling every 2 years, for students starting a four-year, you'll see where I'm going with all this. For students starting a four-year college technical degree, this means that half of what they learn in their first year of study will be outdated by the third year. So by the time 2049 rolls around, a $1,000 computer will exceed the computation capabilities of the entire human species. Now, you imagine, did you know that just by the time it took me to tell you that 67 babies were born in the United States, 274 were born in China, and 395 were born in India? So what does all this mean? Times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Life is passing you by if you're not living it to the fullest. This series is going to show you how to do just that. Live life, love life, and make it last. Thank you, Tracy. You've been a pleasure.